Sometimes when you look at a mirror long enough, you just might not recognize the person looking back at you. Because we're talking movies, we're talking Civil War, starring Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spagney, and Wagner Moura, written and directed by Alex Garland. I've never been so scared in my entire life, and never felt more alive.
That's 300 Canadian. Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of How'd You Like That Movie? As Scott said, we're going to be talking about the recent release, Civil War. So Scott, why don't you take us in?
Yeah, like, I can bury the lead, like, right away. I fucking enjoyed this movie.
Oh, good, because I absolutely did not, so this will be a fun episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
This movie was fucking awful. Like, it failed to do any of the things that it probably should have been doing. Lowered expectations.
Okay, well, we both wanted to watch this coming out, right? Like, I think this was both on our list for movies that we talked about last year in terms of movies we want to see this year.
Yeah, and like life, I'm often let down. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to lie, like the whole time I was fucking watching this, I'm like, Chris is probably jizzing himself right now. Like, he's probably enjoying the shit out of this. Now I'm more interested. Like, I don't even want to do my opinion. I'm more interested.
You actually want my opinion now.
Yeah. I'm like, because like, this is fucking blowing me away right now.
So, okay. This is going to be very straightforward. I thought the entire fucking premise, not the concept of the United States of the Civil War, but I mean, that was so paper mache, like there was almost no context to anything. And I'm guessing what they wanted is to not make it political. But outside of like what they mentioned that the president did like three or four things, like there's no, like you don't know why there's a civil war happening. Like, and that's important because you need it for like, who are the good guys? Is there a gray area? Like, it's just gray, but not because it's, you know, you've set up some type of dynamic where like everybody can be good and bad depending on their position. You just didn't give them any information. It's opaque, right? Like, it's just fucking.
Yeah, from what I understand, it was what, three terms?
Which I mean, right? Roosevelt did three terms. Well, he didn't finish his third term. He died during the third one. But so that's not even that is not actually uncommon in the United States.
No, I'm just trying to think like what they were saying. Like, in terms of why they were going.
Disbanded there, right? The FBI.
Like, yeah, disbanded the FBI.
Again, like, does that seem like something that would cause... Like, it was a bit silly. And the fact that we just watched this movie and we can't recall it shows how unmemorable those things should be. Those extremely important points that kick off a fucking civil war. Right?
Well, I don't think... Well, because that's the thing. Like, this film is not... It's not the beginning of the Civil War. It's the end of it. Like, it's recording the end of the Civil War. So this isn't like, what's the one we watched? The Battle of
Algiers,
where, you know, you're watching the start of the revolution.
Sure,
and stuff like
but
that.
You
this
could,
is,
you, listen,
this is the end.
Sure,
right?
That's great. But we're the audience and we're coming in. And I can appreciate, again, you just start in a place. But there's a way to give some exposition to your audience so they know what the fuck is going on. Because that information would have been important. But that aside, that's okay, fine, okay. United States at Civil War. Doesn't really matter why. The whole plot of like, we're going to go and we're going to, you know, interview the president before he gets killed. What? Like, what the fuck? Like, there's... You have no meeting. The guy is basic. He is the president during a civil war, like 100% locked down. Like the idea that you're going to get in there other than the way it ends up happening, which also that, like, I'll get to that in a sec. So the plot was stupid. Like that whole reason to tear like was stupid. The girl that's like, oh, I saved you. You know, I didn't even really save you. You get hit by a cop. Oh my God, you're a journalist too. Gives her some advice on like getting a flak jacket. Next thing you know, like she's basically, by the end of the film, she's like giving up her own life for her. Like, fuck off. Like, taking she's the sorry, old she, man. Take hold on.
Say that again. She at the end of the film, she's what?
She like gives up her own life to save Kaylene Spacey's character, right? Where she pushes her onto the ground and she gets shot. Like there was, it was just that they take the old man because he's like, oh, I really want to go on one last rodeo. Like give me a fucking break. The film should have been grittier. If you're gonna do a civil war, go ahead.
I was gonna say, we watched kind of not too, but yeah, we came at it totally different. Like one to me. Kaylee, sorry, how do you pronounce her last name?
Is it Spay?
Spaley? Spaney? She was in Priscilla.
Yeah, right? She was great in Priscilla, by the way.
She, to me, she was the antagonist of this whole movie.
Oh, yeah. Everything she 100% was.
She's the villain.
Well, she's not the villain. She definitely causes chaos, but she's not a villain.
No, like to me, she literally went in and the way I saw it was manipulated the whole scenario to become what Kirsten Dunst's character was.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Everything was not by chance, right? Like, and if you look at the pictures, like during the course of the movie, the pictures that Kaylee was doing, I don't remember what her character's name was, were all of Kirsten Dunst. First showing her in her element, taking the pictures of the dead body after that bombing attack. Then her more relaxed with the dress. And the way I saw it, she went into that, position. So Kirsten Dunst could push her out of the way so she could get the picture of the death. Because the minute she got pushed away, she's lifting up the camera and she's taking the shots right away.
Yeah, so the character's name's Jesse. I see what you're trying to put together here. I just think that that was bad writing. Like, all the things that you're weaving together was just bad writing. There's no way in my mind that I think the character was just foolish. She was constantly doing things because she's inexperienced and she's gung-ho. And Kirsten Dunst's character gets killed by accident in the sense that she pushes her out of the way. But she pushes her out of the way and then stands in the fucking doorway. She could have tackled her. She could have just let her stupid ass get shot. That's the other thing. It's like they haven't... So these characters also haven't spent... like especially Jesse and Kirsten Dunst's character... they haven't actually spent enough time together for those characters to care that much about each other. Sorry, her name's Lee Smith, Kirsten Dunst's character. So she, like I said, like there's way too much like giving a shit. And especially at the beginning when it talks, like Kirsten Dunst kind of lays out like, I don't give a shit about you. Like, you know, when you're, what does she say? Something like when your, you know, brains are splattered all over the place or whatever, like I'll be there to take the photo or something like that. Like, she acts like, oh, I don't care. And again, it's to give the character an arc, right? So by the end, oh my God, she's changed. She cares about this person. I'm like, but not enough time's elapsed. And again, for a veteran war correspondent, like she talks like she's jaded, but she doesn't act like she's jaded. Like they're freaking out during like combat operations and stuff that like they shouldn't be because like they've been around. Even when their colleagues die, like... the overly dramatic shot where Wagner Moura, which I mean, you should like because he's like Brazilian, which during the World Cup basically becomes Portugal.
We're all one. Yeah. There is no civil war there every 4 years. That's right. We're all one.
That's right. Except that the Brazilians don't consider you themselves Portuguese. Anyway.
If they get knocked out first, they're all on our bandwagon.
There's that shot where after Stephen McKinley Henderson's character dies. Oh, spoiler, he dies. I mean, I'm sure you knew the big old man was going to die during the movie. And he's like raging and yelling. And again, it's a cool shot. Like you've got the armored division moving behind him. But he's like overacting that scene. And you're like, your old man colleague died from a gunshot wound in a combat zone. This would not have been the first time this happened to you. So I would have much preferred a like silent rage, like the type of thing where you're so desensitized. Like it's just
Well, they had that shot first during the getaway, right? But it wasn't for the old man. It was to the other two correspondents with Jesse Plemons, right? Because then they are in the car and it's also silent and they're looking at each other. And he starts kind of rage crying. And so she starts crying as well because she had to raise up of the, whatchamacallit, the mass grave. Right? So they had that silent scene that you're looking at or you're looking for. But I think, yeah.
No,
I'm
not looking for it. I'm saying that the character, that would have made more sense for that character. The idea that the old man got shot, that's what broke him after all this other shit. That's what broke him. I mean,
Yeah, like to me, that's not what broke him. That's what broke.
Oh, and Oxley, and then what is he crying about though? They're gonna get the president before I get there. Like what? What? Like you're so distraught that you're like rage yelling about your friend. And the biggest part of it, and yes, I know he does tack on at the end. It's like he would have died for nothing. I'm like, fuck. I cannot believe that this is the same writer as Deus Ex Machina. Like. Alex Garden, or it's not Deus Ex Machina, Ex Machina, is a fucking insanely good movie. Men is really creepy. I didn't love Annihilation, but he also wrote like 28 Days Later and Never Let Me Go. If you've never seen Never Let Me Go, it's a really interesting dystopian film. I don't know, maybe he's just not, and I can't say he's not a good director because he directed Ex Machina. Like,
yeah, but I get. What you're doing. And I think what you said too, as well, like in your beginning comment, like, I don't think because this is a movie to get like the whole, it's fucking movie business, right? So A24 wants to get money. So you couldn't make it too political, though there's nods that technically fucking Offerman is Donald Trump.
Sure.
Because fucking, what's his youngest son, Byron? Like, you literally, when the first son gets killed, he's dressed like fucking Byron Trump, right? So, but I think that's the thing. Like, they couldn't go too popular, like too in the weeds, because then
and listen, I'm fine. So let's take the politics right out of it. There's a civil war. We don't know why it's happening. And this is not even just my quote. Over the quotes that I was reading, a common theme of there are many zombie movies that just do dystopian future way better than this. Whether it's Romero or even 28 Days Later, like for a country that's been at civil war for this long, like. It really didn't feel that fucked up. And, like, the stuff that it does show to show, like, a breakdown in society is, like, they hang some dudes at a gas station. There's a mass grave. There's a forest on fire for some reason. And even that, like, again, there's some really cool cinematography there. But as the old man is, like, I think he's already been shot then, right? He's, like, laying and glazing, staring up at the fucking forest fire. It's, like, have you never seen fire before? It reminds me, there's this classic shot of Hillary and Bill Clinton. I think it's during the primaries or whatever. And the balloons come down from the sky. And both of them, like, they make the most ridiculous look. Like, they've never seen balloons before. Like, oh! That's what as soon as I saw that guy's look, I'm like, have you never seen fire before? Like, everybody's in so awe at this fire. Like, again, and so, but there's not a lot of, like, there's a big combat operation at the end. You show the suicide, again, there's some decent set pieces. So the suicide bomber on the water truck, that was cool. I thought that was super cool. I thought the thing with Jesse Plemons, like that whole scene, that was kind of cool. And I do think that the combat operations at the very end, those were kind of cool. Stuff I didn't like around that type of stuff too was even, okay, so they show up with and meet these like random insurgents, right? And the insurgents are like trying to like clear a stairwell, and they've got these fucking guys with like their cameras like right on their ass. That would not be fucking happening. It'd be like, first off, remember, normally when you get embedded, whether you're embedded with the Taliban or you're getting embedded with like an allied, like a conventional military force or something, you don't just like roll up. You're like, hey, I'm Chris. I'm going to take some fucking photos around here. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, you got to know some people. You got to get in with them. Like, it shows the embedded reporters with the, essentially, the American Army or the Loyalist Army. That makes sense. But these guys are, like, random fucking insurgents. And then these insurgents are letting them basically be, like, right on top of them. Like, also, even the way they were shooting their cameras, I was like, it looked ridiculous. Like, there's gunshots going all over the place. Instead of just, like, shooting photos like a normal person, they're, like, getting on top of stuff. And, like, listen, I'm so sure somebody's going to reach out and be like, well, that's how it's actually done. Well, it looks really stupid on cinema. Like, there was a lot of stupid action being taken by these photojournalists. And, of course, the chick is using film. Just because that's a cool retro throwback. Talk about her dad, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that chick is fucking firing off film. Like, bam, 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 bam. Like, you'd think that she was shooting on a digital camera. I don't think I ever said, like, I saw her develop film, and I never saw her, like, put film in her camera. So I don't know where she's carrying all this bulky-ass film that she's just, like, rocking and rolling fucking film all the time. Anyway,
I think she rant over. I was going to say, I think she had some pouches. But, yeah, like, to me, I enjoyed it, and...
That is evident. That is totally evident.
I enjoyed it. Like everything, and it's funny because everything you're saying
is why you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was why I enjoyed it. Right. Because I saw it completely different. Like, I watched it with my oldest, and she enjoyed it as well. And then we literally had a conversation, and I'm like, this, like, the thing that I enjoy with sci-fi is you can make these comments on our modern society and not really be beholden to them because it's fucking sci-fi, right? You put the story further enough ahead in which, you know, if it happens, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. But in reality, like, the way our world
this is a great jumping off point for another issue I had with this. So you said that sci-fi lets you, like, you know, talk about an issue or whatever. So what issue did they talk about in this movie? What was the actual issue other than Civil War? Oh, I air quoted for anybody who's just listening.
No, I think this issue is something that started a while ago, where it's the decentralization of an institution, of the press. You know, fake news is a common term now.
Mm.
Right? Like, we are one, two, maybe steps over the cliff in which democracy is just done, because everything's now fake. If your side doesn't win, it's because it was stolen.
Yeah. If people don't actually listen to this podcast, it's fake. It's because somebody stole it.
No, but. Like, I don't like getting political. You're the more political guy, but it is, and that's kind of what the story was going. Like, when they start, the Western side, right, which
is California and Texas, which also makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, man, I really wouldn't think these guys would have been. And Florida. Florida was part of it, too. I'm like, man, this doesn't seem
although
like
my friend of... Michelle, that you know as well, brought up an interesting point because we saw this film together. She said maybe the reason California and Texas are both in alliance is the president or whatever did separate things that both pushed them, right? So they did something that pushed Texas over the edge. They did something that pushes California. And it's almost like my enemy's enemy is my friend. And so it's like a temporary alliance. And they do make a really short reference to, like, once they take the capital, they'll turn on each other, right? So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, keep going. Was.
Yeah. Sorry. But that's the thing. Like, that side, the Western Front, you know, it was all for the press. They're willing to work with the press. Mm. When they said they were driving down
to DC, they were like, they shoot the press on site in the Capitol.
Right, which at no point we saw that, because they went pretty...
Which in. I like, think, that. So actually, as you say that, you know what would have been a great scene? As if they first, are, like, when they're rolling into the DC, if they saw it showed, like, reporters hanging from, like, lampposts. with like fake news traitor or something like that, like around their neck. Like that would have been a really ominous kind of like aesthetic.
Yeah, but the only time we see press is with the West. Western side, right? Like the
no. What I mean is, like, when the Western forces are entering the Capitol, it would have been cool for them to show like journalists like having been hung from like lamps or something like that. Like, just
are you? Like, I was gonna say, are you familiar with what's his name? Jim Johnson, Jim Jeffries, the Raven, the guy who made everybody drink the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah. Down in South America or whatever.
Yeah,
it's Jim Jones, I believe. There. It's Jim Jones,
yes.
Jim Jeffries, I think, is a comedian.
Well, maybe he makes people drink fucking Kool-Aid. How do you know?
That's right. I mean, before we started the show, you were giving me a Kool-Aid
I was talking
recipe.
About drinking Kool-Aid.
Anyway, yeah, Jim Jones.
But, and that was kind of the thing that they were showing, like, when they're talking about this president that Offerman was portraying, that he incited and just grouped together his followers, that they kind of became a cult. And then when they're in the East Side, right, it seemed like all media was cut off completely. The only kind of thing you heard in terms of news reports or anything like that was his radio broadcasts that were telling a story that was completely different than what was happening, right? Because when you hear him in the radio, he's saying they're getting ready to, the Western side's getting ready to...
like surrender.
To surrender. And we're going to welcome them back, and we're going to be one United States, right? And that's the thing, and that's what Jim Jones would do as well. He had his radio broadcast, and he would just be technically narrating his own story of what's happening to world in current times.
Sure. None of that has to do with like what makes this film good. It definitely has almost nothing to do with like what makes this film good.
I fucking hate you.
I know you do.
Like, I try to use real world aesthetics that, like,
I know I think you did this a bunch of research.
I think this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to say, like, this guy is like a cult leader.
I agree with you. I agree, like, that that's what the president is. But I mean, that's like, you basically just described the character. Like, I don't know. I don't see how that really plays into the qualities of this film. I mean, I came out of this film and I like messaged people I know and I was like, don't watch this movie in the theater. Like, don't watch this movie. Do not waste your money. Do not waste your time. Till it comes out on streaming service. And then just watch the last 30 minutes.
I apologize. This is A24's most expensive movie, right?
Yep, 50 million. 50 million. So far it's done 26, but I think it just opened, right? Like, by the time this episode drops, it'll be like going into its second weekend.
So it seems like it's going to make its money back.
Well, and I mean, I'm offside of everybody on this one. Like, the critics have it at 83. Audience has it 77%. I am offside of both groups, which happens sometimes. I mean, I can't be, sometimes I'm just smarter than everybody. So
I was going to say, because it usually seems like I'm in line with everybody. So what does that say? I'm more of a follower, not a leader, eh?
I guess so, man. Or you're smarter than I am. So you're like next level.
Yeah. But let's rewind this.
This movie, because I don't want to watch it.
No. Well, maybe. Okay, so let's say you go a little bit different. A24 is going to you. They bring you this script. What would you like?
What would I change?
What would you change?
So,
because I think runtime was well done.
Yeah, I mean, the runtime, if this was any longer, I probably would have just got up and left. So yeah, right off the bat. So first off, I would, the young character, I would have had her already with them. Like, any of your characters, I'd already have them together. They've already been shooting this thing forever. And because then you understand like why they care about each other, right? Like, then if there's any type of like crazy acts of heroism, it's because they've been around. Like, hey, kid, I've gotten you this far. I'm going to get you to the Capitol. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of mentality. I would have had it, like, way more, like...
Okay, wait. So I'm going to compare and contrast, right? So, okay, so they're all together. So it's not like Sorry.
She's not a brand new addition to the team. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I was going to say, who's the Nestor or Wagner Mora? What's his character's name? Joel. So it's not Joel getting super drunk at the hotel of the press trying to hit on her and to impress her. He's like, all right, you can come.
Yeah, that doesn't really work for me. Also, I found that all very cringy because they like, oh, she's 20. They make her look really young. Like, really. Like, I thought she was like 17 or 18 until they were said like, oh, she's 22. You were doing the same thing at this age. Like, the actual actress looks older without whatever they did to make her look even younger. So it was like borderline like pedo kind of action, which I was like, that's not endearing. Like, you're not making me care about this male character at all. And maybe that's the point. He's supposed to be like a rogue or something. Then make the other actor not quite as young. Because I just, yeah, that part was always like, bleh, in my mouth. So yeah, I would have had them as like a team that's already kind of been doing stuff. They've been covering the Civil War. And give them like a more logical reason to be getting into DC. Not to fucking try and get a random interview with the president. I would have shown much more like devastation, like how bad things are getting. So kind of like that opening scene with the water, I would have shown more of that stuff, right? Like the breakdown of all the services and stuff like that. Just like how desperate people are. I would definitely start there. I'd ditch the old man. That was fucking stupid. It was like, it was the dumbest. It was almost like he was put in there so that when they talk about basically mock him for not being able to run, but he saves them in the one scene because he drives the truck. And it's like, come on, seriously? Also, and maybe I'm wrong, are journalists in combat zones not allowed to fucking ever carry firearms? Like, they're not medics. Because, and even if like I'm not supposed to, after the whole Jesse Plemons situation, I would be picking up those M16s or AR-15s or whatever. Well, like, fuck that. I'm not this running around like I'm only going to have my camera for protection. Fuck that noise. If that is something photojournalists do, that fucking sucks.
That is, and I wish, like, I do hope one day we do get to speak with a, like, correspondent.
Like a war correspondent?
Yeah, because even when they're showing, like, Chris, like, doing the flashbacks about how hardcore Kirsten Dunst was and whatever other war.
Yeah, it looks like she was in, like, Somalia and some other places.
Or something like that, yeah. The fact that, you know, because you have your vest that says press, just means you can literally go 2 feet from a guy being lit on fire while they're posing for you. And no one does anything. Like, no one's attacking you. And it was the same thing in this one. Like, they literally walk up to Jesse Plemons after realizing, hey, they kidnapped these people. They just walk up to him and like, hey, we're press. Just what's going on.
Well, and even right? The car scene that leads up to that, like, what was the point of that scene? Like, I know the point is to get one character into the other character's car. That's how, like, that seemed ridiculous. Like, again, we're in a civil war, we're doing this stuff, it's super dangerous, but we're fucking around like that. Again, maybe this is something that adrenaline junkies do. I was like, oh, they're doing the scene from Footloose.
I was like, Fast and the Furious 6. Tokyo Drift, I don't know. But yeah, like, to me, I would recommend this movie. I would say go watch it, because I do think it has a story to say, and you know, a warning that, like I said, like, you got to look in the mirror, because pretty soon we're not going to realize who's looking back at us if we're not able to be able to communicate, even though we have differing opinions. Like, because if that was the case, I don't think this podcast would go 4 years.
So as much as I agree with that sentiment, none of that is encapsulated by this film. And so I'm going to leave off with my quote, because this quote says literally what I want to say, but better than I do. So Valerie Complex from Deadline Hollywood had this to say. The film's execution, hampered by thin characterization, a lackluster narrative, and an over-reliance on spectacle over substance, left me disengaged.
Go fucking do a podcast with her then. And that is our wrap for the day. Please like and subscribe to this podcast. Tell your friends. If you want to get a hold of us, reach us at the www.howdyoulikethatmovie.com.
Like the best part of that film, one of the best parts of the film was when he's like, $300, that gets you a sandwich. It's 300 Canadian. I actually was like, woo! I think I actually said, finally! And like the theater started laughing or whatever. But after that, I was like, okay, I'm good. That was my money shot.
That was my money.
Production by Rod Shaver, Vader Monkey Productions.